Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 7 of Astrid Ass. And I had to have a special guest for this one. This is one of the people that, like I told Jackie, one of the three people. Now that I think about it, I forgot I had the third one last time with Jackie. I had three people in mind when I started this series, and this was one of them. So here, welcome, LHA.
What's up? I always get this backwards. So I think, oh, I did it right. Yep. It's nice to see you again, Astrid.
I know I'm used to being on the other business side, so I'm used to pointing this way, and it's the
This
opposite way
way.
this time. Yeah, I still can't get used to it when I'm on this side of it, but yeah, I'm used to when I do it with Ed, I'm used to this side, but today that's not it. But yeah, welcome to the show. I've been wanting to have you here for a while, so I'm really excited. We finally got the time to do it. Can't believe it. But yes, I always wanted to ask you, and more than anything, about the podcasting stuff, because I know how busy you are, how much to do, all that stuff. I've always been curious about, so I just wanted to dive in from the beginning, obviously. But first question will be, like, how did you start with your podcast at Wrestling Gal?
Yeah, so it's like literally coming up. I'm literally about to sneeze. I hate this. We were just talking off air about this, okay? I think I'm good. I don't know if you can edit this or what. I'm so sorry. So the 3-year anniversary of a Wrestling Gal is actually coming up like next month, which is insane. But it did start in June of 2019 is when the inception came to my brain, because I was enrolled to go to graduate school for psychology because that's what my degree was in. Then I was like, I don't know. I don't know if this is really something I want to do, considering all the debt I was already in, and it's even more in grad school. So I unenrolled. I was already accepted, but I was like, maybe I'll just take a semester or a year off. So I did that, and I was still working a shoot job to maintain, income in this crazy world. But I was like, I've got a little bit more free time now. So, and I love professional wrestling. I was on professional wrestling Twitter for the longest time, and I had looked up to a lot of people, like my good friend Samira, who was doing a lot of interviews and pro wrestling content. And I had been such a closeted wrestling fan, like since forever. But I loved talking about it, like on Twitter, and like connecting with a lot of people in the community. So I was like, I like professional wrestling. Like, it started out as a hobby, and I was like, I want a platform to like talk about something that I was so invested in and so passionate about. And I had others seen other people like Alicia Toot and Chris Van Fleet doing interviews and like very prominent in the pro wrestling world. And so it kind of just started there. I wanted a platform to provide the female perspective for wrestling, because I felt like a lot, especially like in high school, like a female wrestling fan, which is why I didn't talk about it a lot, is because we would get like scrutinized, or people would be like, oh, like, how are you even interested in this? Like, you're only interested in for one thing, or it's fake. People would come up with all the excuses in the book. So that's why I was closeted for a lot of the time, but I loved talking about it. And so what a platform for me to do that would be on my own podcast. So it started out with the female perspective on all things wrestling, and now it's transformed into a lot of women's wrestling, but still hinging upon the fact that it is my perspective as a female, and of course, any guests that I bring in too.
Yeah, I love that. That's one of the reasons why I always wanted to interview you too, because I saw you for so long on Twitter, and I could think, yeah, I want to learn what I can from her, because she seems to know so much, not only from podcasting but women's wrestling. And that's one of the things that inspired me to do this series to begin with, because I wanted to highlight women's wrestling in some way, shape, or form. This is my start of doing it, but I'm hoping that obviously it'll extend to something else. So that's why I say always keep working at what you're doing, because you never know who's watching you and who you inspire and how it keeps going like that. Because who gets inspired by me and it'll keep going like that's a domino effect. So that's why I'm very glad that you kept going, because look at me. I wouldn't be here if I wouldn't be here influenced by people like you. So there you
Well,
go.
thank you. It's still weird hearing people say that, and I appreciate it so much. It's just a weird thing to hear, because that's not something like I came in like intending or thinking that I would like be able to do. Because I'm still, we're all our own worst critics, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm like always criticizing myself or putting myself down. But it honestly means a lot to hear people like you say that.
I did want to ask, because I know Maurice, you had over 200 episodes now, over 250, I believe, at this point, episodes. And obviously, you still have recordings that you probably have to put up as well. So I'm going to do 250 for now with the asterisk at the top. Who has been like your favorite interview that you had so far?
So there's an obvious answer, but there's another answer. So we'll get back to the obvious answer first, or we'll get to it later. So, but one of them that really stands out to me is honestly Diana Perrazzo over here. My first time I talked with her, which was when like very a couple weeks after she was released from WWE in 2020. And that one was really important for me because initially I wasn't even going to reach out. I was like, she's getting inundated with requests. I'm like, there's no way she's going to say yes. And then I was just like, I guess shoot my shot. You never know what could happen. And she actually emailed me back. And it was a great conversation because I tried to make it a little bit different than what everybody else was talking about at that time. Like, of course, we talked some NXT stuff, but one thing that really stood out to me was her like advocating for herself in professional wrestling, but also advocating for other people and it standing up for your not only yourself, like in your beliefs, which is what she was trying to do. And then now she's been able to do that and transformed it into her work and Impact Wrestling and beyond, but she was also in a position in Ring of Honor or Impact or wherever she was, like putting other people over and putting a nice word in for other people so they could land opportunities. And she was aware of that. And she is just like had this beautiful journey. And that's something that I always take away because I was just blown away like talking to her. And she's just an amazing person. And I think she's obviously an amazing wrestler. But that for me was like the first time I was like, oh, wow, you actually said yes. And then now today's her birthday on the day we're filming this, and I just absolutely adore her. And now I've interviewed her like 8 times, I think. She's the person I've interviewed the most ever. But that for me, like my first interview with her, I'll like always be very grateful for. And of course, I mean, anytime I interview Mickey, that's always fun because now, I mean, I have an interview with her coming up in a couple days. I think it's like my fifth one with her or something like that. She's always fun just because we're real life friends and it's fun to bounce off of each other's energy.
Those are two exactly that I have on my list.
Yeah.
There's women that I think they work so hard because not only do they put their names on the map, but they put somebody else's, like you said, at the same time. And a lot of people don't do that, actually. And it's nice to see the people that actually do that, especially in wrestling. Another thing that I always wanted to learn from you, or maybe like get notes from you somehow, what is it that you have learned from doing interviews so far?
Oh, gosh. Like in what aspect? There's so many things.
I mean, are you guys coming up with questions, even reaching out, things like that? Anything you have learned from the people you have?
Yeah, so there's definitely things that I've evolved or tweaked, especially, I mean, in reaching out to people and pitching yourself to others. I've definitely pitched like how I format something, but also using references of past people that you've worked with that they might be familiar with might land you some interviews. Like for example, like a Chelsea Green, she was getting inundated with requests last year too, but me pitching myself to her knowing I had worked with other people that she was friends with or respected, like a Diana Perrazzo, like a Mickey James, you kind of have to also use that as leverage when pitching yourself with other people, because if you pitch yourself that you've already worked with people they trust or people that they're familiar with, they're more likely to say yes. And that's just an example. But I also think too, with my questions, I mean, for me personally, unless it's somebody's like very first interview or it's one of those sanctioned interviews where you have to stick to a certain guideline or certain topics, I try to shy away from the cliche questions. Like I say, unless it's somebody's very first interview and you can't find absolutely anything. That's happened a handful of times where I was somebody's first interview. But honestly, even if it is somebody's first, there is so much you can do with somebody's social media and Twitter and Instagram. And I made a whole thread on Twitter about like hacks to search somebody's Twitter for like certain keywords that might give you good nuggets of information. And it's taking those nuggets of information, whether from somebody's social media or from past interviews, that have definitely helped me evolve my style. And of course, I have my own like some questions I love to throw in every episode because I think they're so interesting. Like I love talking about ring gear. That's always one. And the premise of a wrestling gal is like hashtag girl power. So I ask about that a lot. So if you can kind of find your groove and maybe a theme to whatever your podcast is, you can maybe resort to like certain interesting questions or sometimes listening to other people's podcasts just for research, you'll find a question. Like, there's one question that I have been, has been pretty consistent that I heard in another podcast. And so I implemented it into mine because, like, oh, that's like a pretty cool and unique question. And you can spin it your own way. And so for me, I mean, my style is definitely, I don't know if I have a style. I'm talking about this. I don't know if I have a style, but I, for me, try to shy away and try to dig deeper, which I think you should always do, unless for some reason it's somebody's first interview and they barely have any social media. But even then, there's always something on somebody that you can find.
Yeah, that's very true. One question that I think not only myself, but a lot of people probably wonder as well. How do you balance everything you do? Because if you were to list everything you do, I don't think we would have time to do it all. But how do you do it? How do you balance between obviously life itself, work, because you have a shoot job, and everything you do, like just in wrestling itself? Because I imagine you do other stuff aside from that too. So it's like, how do you balance everything?
Yeah, so literally like a to-do list. I literally have I have a calendar app on my phone. I have my to-do list. I have an actual like weekly calendar too as well. I set so many alerts on my phone. And I also have like my work schedule, my shoot job work schedule, which I have to work around week to week. So the only way like I stay organized is having constant reminders on paper and my phone and like triple checking everything. So it's absolutely insane. Honestly, sometimes I'm just tired. I'm just always tired, Astrid. It's really bad that, I mean, I think I'm a workaholic, to be honest with you. Like, even this week, I only did one thing for my own podcast. The rest of the entire week was my shoot job. I think this week I did 5 different interviews for 5 different podcasts or shows, or I did writing. And so it's just insane. I don't know, honestly. I couldn't tell you. I've just been very lucky that people are willing to work around my schedule and we figure things out. But honestly, it's sacrificing a social life a lot of the time and sacrificing some sleep sometimes due to time zone differences.
Yeah, that's very true because you have... I know you write for WrestleZone, you do SES Scoops, you do Women's Wrestling Talk, right? I don't know if you do writing, but I know you do the live shows for them as well. Obviously, being here in Power Hour with us too, and yeah. Sometimes even every now and then you do a blowing off stream as well. Plus your shoot job on top of it and your podcast. Like, what else do you do?
I also do Capital Championship Wrestling, where we host another podcast with Alyssa Marino. I did PWI. I'm with Bell to Bells, and then I think that's it. You named everything else. I think that's it.
Sure.
I know I'm forgetting something, but I think that's it.
I don't know how you do it. I still wonder.
I don't know either. I've just been lucky sometimes.
Yeah, I'm like, I know because even doing everything from Love Wrestling, I still have stuff with my book club I do on the side. Yeah. Plus my book review stuff that I post on my social media as well. And sometimes I just think it's like, and Ella must be doing something else. Like, why? How is that possible? I keep thinking about it. It just makes me wonder so many times. And I'm sure a lot of people think the same thing. Like, does she even sleep?
They probably think I'm insane, which I am. I mean, even just like, oh my gosh. This whole week has been crazy. I've just been lucky that people work around my schedule, like with Love Wrestling, which I'm the reason why sometimes we have to switch the stuff around because of my shoot job. I'm so sorry, guys. But like I said, I've just been very fortunate. People have taken, I knew I forgot something. I forgot this yesterday too. I also edit Gawcast for Gaw TV. Again, that's people just work around my schedule. So I've just been very fortunate that people have taken chances on me and I've had some opportunities and they work around my work schedule. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And now that you mentioned it, like talking about God TV, how did that come about? Like, what can you explain to people what that is to the people that don't know, obviously?
Yeah, so GOT TV is a weekly YouTube show with Mickey James, Lisa Marie Barron, and SoCal Val every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They have guests from the wrestling world and beyond, and they also have a podcast on audio platforms like Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, and stuff like that, which came about like 8 months into their show. So they started in May of 2020, and Mickey was familiar with me for a few years before that, and then I was in the chat room every week and we built a good rapport, and now me and Lisa are like best friends too, and Val's amazing too as well. So I think it happened kind of naturally to where I like integrated myself into Team GOT, and they're great with their fans, now turned friends. And so I mean, Mickey had approached me late 2020 knowing that I had podcasting experience, and then asking me basically, hey, like, we're looking to launch our podcast. I know you know how to edit it. Like, what's the best way to go about it? And do you want to help us launch? And I was like, of course. And so now I edit their podcast every week that goes onto their audio platforms after it's already aired on YouTube. So it'll be out like early the next week, from the week previous's episode. And they're absolutely fantastic. I love them. They're amazing people. Getting to be a part of Team GOT is absolutely wild. So tune in every Wednesday.
Yeah, there you go. For those that didn't know, there you go. Something else for Ella to do. One thing that I always wanted to obviously pinpoint and highlight with you, and you mentioned it earlier when the podcasting stuff, is like, you're one of the big female presences that we see in wrestling media and wrestling podcasting. So it's like, how important is that for you to be that female presence in, obviously, in the wrestling community, who's such a male dominated like industry and community as a whole?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Again, I don't think I'm like some big presence or anything. There's a lot of people who are way more prominent in this field than me. But again, I appreciate it. But yeah, it goes to the whole scope of basically me growing up as a wrestling fan, like literally terrified to say that I was a pro wrestling fan because it's been a male dominated sport, or the rare times I would bring it up, people would like talk me down from it, or just talk all of this, can we swear on here? I don't know. Talk all this SHIT with me. And so I would not talk about it like publicly, or I would just resort to Twitter. But I've met some of my best friends through wrestling. And so I think just inherently it's been this male dominated sport, but to be able to be a voice in this male dominated sport, I think has been really, really cool, because I genuinely love it. I'm very passionate about it. I have a lot of knowledge, not saying I know everything, nobody does, but I think it's really cool to be sharing our voice because we have a unique perspective than the cliche or targeted demographic than normal. So it's cool, I think, to share different perspectives.
Yeah. And going back to that part of like, obviously you jumping in to do the podcast, is there anything that you learned not through your podcasting journey so far that you didn't know about before you started it?
Oh, about podcasting. Oh my gosh. I mean, just how much goes into like, I am not good at video editing. I'm very basic with that, but I am so impressed by all these people that have like all these cool graphics or know how to do all these live. I'm very basic. I know how to use StreamYard. Like, but again, everything's set up for me with the clips, with the photos, the timer, like all of that. I just know how to do the basics of it. I got with audio, I got you, which is what I do for GOT TV. I got you. But I think definitely an appreciation for more of the behind the scenes work that goes into it. Like even transcribing stuff is so time consuming, but quotes are like essential. They're news to spreading information about relevant stuff in professional wrestling too. And there's a lot of things I've learned too. That's more like technical or mechanical, I feel like. I don't know. Just that also a lot of people bring a lot of unique perspectives too and stuff, like beyond the ring. And so I think just sometimes people portray themselves on social media, or people assume that a person is one way, but then when you talk to them, like not in kayfabe, they're like a completely different person occasionally or sometimes. And so I think it's cool being able to share those stories too, and that some people aren't how you perceive it to be. Some people are not what they appear on TV to be, because at the end of the day, people are playing a character. Some of them might be more true to who they actually are than others, but I don't think that we'll ever truly know what goes on behind the curtain. But I've been very fortunate enough that I've been able to in a lot of those circumstances.
I just wanted to see if you had any kind of a piece of advice or maybe tips for anybody who's just thinking about starting a podcast.
Yeah, so, and I've said this before, but it was a piece of advice that Denise Salcedo said to me. I don't know if we talked about it on my episode with her or if it was because we had a long conversation after we even filmed. And one thing she told me was, like, make yourself known for something, or like finding your niche in something. So for me, like, I've found my niche. Women's wrestling is something I'm very passionate about. And not that I believe that I'm this, but people have told me when they think of women's wrestling, like, I'm one of the first people they think of. And so for me, that's really cool. And so for me, that's just my niche, my passion. If you like doing like reviews, predictions, like independent stuff, Joshi, retro reviews, there's so many things to do in professional wrestling, and if you can make yourself known for something, I think it really speaks to like your work ethic, and I think it really can get a lot of eyes on you too if you can of course, not only you don't want to specialize in just one thing, but if you can make yourself known for something, like I think I've been trying to do, or people have told me that I've been doing, I think that'll definitely take you far. And honestly, just shoot your shot sometimes. It's definitely easier said than done. I still struggle with that. Like, even just before we got on here, I shot an email that I don't think I'll get a response to, but I've also done that dozens of times. And sometimes the opportunity is worth the risk. And so I think definitely too, if you're passionate about it, just go for it. Because for me, this started out as a hobby and now it's a possible career path financially. So,
yeah. And thinking about you said, obviously you have, let's say, asterisk of 250 episodes so far.
Yeah.
Like, is there anybody you haven't interviewed or haven't collaborated with that you would like to?
Yes. So, one of the ones I have been literally, so I have a couple because I've said this one before, so I'll name a couple, but one that I've literally been wanting since the inception of my podcast is Jamie Hayter, because I shared the other day, like, June 7th is when I found independent wrestling. It sounds stupid to say, but my first time watching independent wrestling was Jamie Hayter versus Britt Baker at Pro Wrestling Eve, and I was just instantly like blown away and captivated by Jamie Hayter. Obviously now she's part of AEW, so it's probably never going to happen, or there's a slim chance, but she's literally been one I've been wanting to speak with since the inception of one. There's so many people. I mean, one definitely for me right now is King Kota, Dakota Kai. She has been one. I mean, she's a free agent now, so you never know, but she's been one I've been wanting to get on for a long time. And then two other names, I would say like Barbie Blank and Lita are definitely, those are definitely four names right now who I haven't gotten a chance to chat with that are like at the top of my list.
I wanted to know about, like, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but being in the wrestling community is, aside from obviously the wrestling part of it, what has been your favorite part of being in that community now that you're open to it, obviously?
There's so many cool people, like, in professional wrestling. And, I mean, the wrestlers themselves and the media personalities, the podcasters, the writers, the journalists, commentators, ring announcing. There's so many things in professional wrestling that I've gotten to dabble my foot into now. Like, I'm commentating now, I'm doing the news, I'm writing, I'm interviewing. It's just cool that there's so many like outlets or like avenues to work in professional wrestling. And so I think it's cool to be able to experience. Obviously, there's more I want to do. But again, meeting people from all those different avenues of professional wrestling has really, really been fun. And getting to meet people like yourself and then meeting up at all these events, people that you see online. It's crazy that like a majority, like half of my life is online, or I would say more than half of it, to be honest with you. I've met a lot of my best friends, like a majority of my best friends are through wrestling that we met online. So, I mean, obviously this community is sometimes crazy, but honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way because I would not be here if it wasn't for professional wrestling. And so I think there's a lot of great people in this community that bring so much value and just have great energy, and just they're great people.
I did want to ask you, because I asked Jackie a similar question. I wanted to get your side of it as well. Do you feel like maybe being a female presence, like in the wrestling community, is like an added pressure to it, being in the community as a female fan?
I think so, yes. And I've had my fair share of experiences where people criticize or whatever. I think so, because I think we're held to a higher standard because this is this male-dominated industry. And sometimes people have this... I think sometimes people have this perception that we're inferior or we can't possibly understand professional wrestling simply because we're female. And so they'll be more apt to criticize us or jump on something if we say one, if we make a mistake or say one thing wrong, versus when they would for our male counterparts. So I definitely think that there's an added pressure and more scrutiny if you screw up. Even if you don't mean to, nobody knows everything. But if you're a female, God forbid, you know, I think people jump on that more and they go on long tangents. And I've had this happen to me before. So there's I'm not saying everybody, but I think inherently a good chunk of the community, since it's been male dominated, like traditionally, is definitely, if you're a female in this industry, you're definitely held to a higher standard.
Oh yeah, definitely. And since you mentioned her earlier, I just wanted to ask, because I've been wanting to know about this. Obviously, you said that you've known Mickie James for quite a while. So, is anything you've learned from her, particularly in wrestling or even in general?
Oh my gosh. So she is like literally my biggest hero in life. Like not only in professional wrestling, but like in life. Her story, like growing up, even before I met her, and she's done all this incredible stuff, like me growing up with her, starting with the whole Piggy James storyline. I mean, it was not tastefully done, but that was at a point where I really identified and sympathized with her, and her being able to still survive publicly, like being body shamed and bullied on screen, but then also later on learning her story of like the abuse she suffered as a child. And not saying that I experienced that, but I definitely experienced like the depression and the body insecurities and like just those dark times in your life that she was talking about. And she can tell her story much better than I can. But her, I've just like learned so much strength, and I've gotten to know her personally now, and things that like a deeper respect for her than I think most people would even understand. And I've been very fortunate enough to really gotten to know her more personally and have an even deeper understanding and respect for her, like not only professionally, but personally as well. And she's just honestly a badass for everything that she has overcome in her life. I mean, inside wrestling, of course, some crazy things have happened to her. Outside of professional wrestling, though, too, she's experienced so much. And I just think it's her strength and the passion she has for everything she does. And I think, I mean, she's also one who does like a million things. She's a singer. She's a mom. She's literally a businesswoman with Legacy Subs. She's a host now, not only for GOT TV, but Busted Open. She's still wrestling. She like does a million different things. And maybe that's where I get the energy from. I don't know. But definitely she's a go-getter and she's tough as nails. And I love that woman so much.
Yeah, I was gonna say, she does so much. It's another person that I want to ask her, how does she do all that? How does she handle it? How does she balance everything mm-hmm. she does? I think she has a superpower, to I be know. Honest. Every time I see she does something else, and it's incredible everything she's done, because I think she was always, like, I guess, part somehow backstage of like Empower when it happened too. And that was incredible to think about. I was like, I love the card, and I kept thinking, I want to know what it was like, you know, behind the scenes for her in that experience of it. Because I can imagine it was not only a lot of work, but to see it pay off on screen like that, not only for herself, but for all the talent in the card as well. It's just incredible to think about.
I do have to say, too, she trusted me in the process of putting together the Empower card long before. I don't think I've said this publicly, so I guess this is, I don't know if you call it breaking news. So weeks before this was even announced on NWA that they were doing it, she kind of hinted at me that she was doing this women's wrestling project and asked me to compile a list of like possible prospects or who are, I think are some like great names in women's wrestling that might be a part of this project. And a couple of those names actually were on the pay-per-view per my recommendation. So I think it was pretty cool to see. So this was something that she was thinking about long before it had even happened. I mean, she has said publicly that she was trying to pitch an all-women's show for WWE. Obviously, then she got released, but that was such a project she had, like, going into it. And the months leading up, I was very... I don't know why she asked me. It was very weird for her to ask me for, like, my opinion on certain things. But I think, again, it goes to the whole scope of make yourself known for something. And I know a lot about women's wrestling. Again, I don't know everything, but I think it was cool to be a part of it. And her trusting, like, some of my opinions and actually using some of them, I think was really cool.
That's really awesome, though. Breaking news, people. That's awesome. I didn't know that part of it, but it's pretty cool to think about. Like, that's kind of a little bit of why I hope one day to be able to interview her. To ask about stuff like that is, like, for that booking process, finding all the talent and obviously making sure that they all have that day free for themselves to do this and things like that. It's just incredible to think about it. I cannot imagine all the mess that you have to deal with, but it's something I would like to, like, learn about from her and that aspect of it. Just like people like Maria with her new promotion, it's like, and Gail Kim with Impact. Those are my three that I want to learn about, that kind of side of wrestling with them. So I hope I get them on the show someday so I can ask them about that. So those are on my bucket list. But heading on now to the community questions, I had Carl from Turnbuckle Talk. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate you a lot, by the way. He gave me some incredible questions that I knew I had to ask you because I love how he gave them to me too. I'm just going to give them to you in the order that he gave them to me. First one said, at the infancy of your broadcast and journalism career, was there someone that you emulated or aspired to be like?
Yeah, so I mentioned a couple of them earlier. Definitely inspired to be inspired. I don't know if I emulate anyone per se. Maybe with, like, my deep research, because I know he prides himself on this, is Chris Van Fleet and Alicia Toot were definitely the two biggest names, because I genuinely loved listening to and watching wrestling interviews. Again, I didn't come into this looking to do interviews. I just thought it would be a part of my podcast. Now it's kind of the main thing I do. But those two definitely, like, the confidence they had and the way they presented themselves professionally and asked their questions. And, like, Alicia definitely prides herself as a professional stalker, which is something, oh my gosh, I definitely do with going into people's social medias. I feel like I should not be this deep. But those are definitely some things I've adapted, some of their techniques, and, like, professionally stalking people to have great conversations. So those are definitely two, I think, the biggest. Renee Paquette too. I mean, she is so poised in everything she does, but definitely starting out, it was Chris and Alicia for sure.
The other one he was asking was, where have you found the most success in everything so far?
I think just in general, it just my work and voice in women's wrestling. I mean, a lot of the dominoes fell in place because people knew me for covering women's wrestling. Like, SC Scoops started out with me being approached to start a women's wrestling show, which now I do every other week, Women's Wrestling Focus. And then with WrestleZone, again, I was approached to do a women's wrestling column and then be on Women's Wrestling Talk and then be a part of be on the PWI Women's 150 list, which again is women's wrestling, and we can go on and on. But I think definitely I found the most success in women's wrestling and people, again, maybe thinking of me with opportunities and stuff like that. And I just, it's something I'm really passionate about and, like, love.
I think this one was also interesting going back to, like, a little bit of what I mentioned earlier, but he said, being involved with so many different platforms, does it ever get overwhelming? And how does she deal with those stresses?
Yes. Like, even like we were alluding to, even just this week, has been insane. Like, I have had to get up from, like, my shoot job at, like, 5:30, 6 a.m. And then, like, I have podcasts at night. And then it starts all up again in the morning. Like, this whole week, I've had multiple things every day, plus my shoot job. So, yes, it definitely gets overwhelming. I'm so tired, Ashton. Yes, it definitely does. And sometimes I have to take those breaks or I'll put off stuff But then sometimes I work myself into a corner where I'm on a time crunch and I'm like, oh my God, I have to get this done. Like, and then I stress myself out even more. And then what was the second half of the question?
And then the second, how does she deal with the stresses?
Taking my melatonin to be sure that I sleep for maybe at least 5-6 hours, or otherwise I would literally be up all night. My de-stress melatonin has been my lifesaver, or sometimes honestly just shutting it off and like not responding for even if it's half hour or an hour, and I'll just watch YouTube or watch TikTok. So sometimes it's just putting it away or putting it on do not disturb, and then just getting in my own zone or taking much needed breaks. Like in between my work, I'll sometimes take dance breaks with my headphones in and dance in my kitchen in between things I'm doing to be sure that I don't get overwhelmed, and a lot of energy drinks.
Yeah. I'm like, Ella does sleep, people. She sleeps, okay? We know.
Only because of my melatonin. If I didn't have that, I don't know if I would sleep, to be honest with you.
See, if he said, if giving an opportunity to work for a company or brand that she has not been involved with, which company or brand would it be?
So this is something I've been manifesting for a while. I really want to, like, at least one time, like, work with Fightful. I think obviously they're one of the biggest, if not the biggest, like, pro wrestling platforms. Like, even if it's just like a prediction show or something, I've been able to build a good working relationship with a lot of people on there, like a Denise Salcedo, for example, that I would love to be on the platform for at least like just one show. At least I think that was cool. Honestly, though, like professional wrestling wise, like big company wise, I don't really per se have like a goal in mind. I think it'd be cool if I were to be like a backstage interviewer. But just right now, honestly, I just want to make this full time. Whether I don't consider myself a journalist, but whether it's podcasting or writing or interviewing or doing the media route, I just want to make it full time. And wherever that may be, I don't really have a preference per se right now. There's a lot of cool companies out there. I mean, I love a lot of my favorite people are at Impact Wrestling. So I think that would be cool. I've gotten to interview a lot of people from there. Like this week, I've gotten to be on NWA. They've treated me really well. So I don't really have a preference per se. But like company wise, yeah. I want to be on Fightful at least once. This is my public plea.
This is our public plea. Both of us. We're tagging Fightful.
I know.
The last question I got from Carl is, what is one thing from your body of work that you're especially proud of?
I think it has to be Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Last year, in the women's 150, again, it was the first ever women's 150 list. It expanded from 100. It's probably going to be 200 this year. Being invited onto, I mean, not only the committee for that list was mind-blowing, because I literally picked up Pro Wrestling Illustrated when I was like 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, would always run to the newsstands to go get it, to see my favorites on the cover. So that was like incredible, and being a part of that process and being brought in as the indie expert, which again is so ironic because I was not a fan or open-minded to indie wrestling before 3 years ago. But now I can say outside of Joshi Wrestling, I would say I pretty much know what's going on in the independent scene. So that was really cool. And then, I mean, also writing the Empower article in there, which I was lucky enough to attend, and then be able to compile quotes and write about an event I was at, and I knew a lot of the backstage stuff going on with Mickey. So for that to be published in Pro Wrestling Illustrated, I mean, I don't know if I'll be invited back this year again. I would love to, but that for me is always like blowing. Like my name's in print, and like I have like 10 copies sitting over there. It's wild.
Yeah, we'll definitely have one in frame somewhere, and then just
get. I need to get it framed. Honestly, I haven't. I've been too afraid to.
Yes, at least one of them. You have so many copies. True. But yeah, I'm more than anything, I want to thank you for coming on. You're definitely one of those people that I look up to in this wrestling community, and I hope I can learn as much as I can from you, and I hope this is also a way for somebody else to learn from you as well that doesn't get to see you often, getting interviewed, which is probably rare at this point. You don't get interviewed often. But yeah, I really want to thank you for doing this with me. And obviously for those that don't know you, where they can find you or what else do you have coming up soon?
The easiest way to find me is where it says down below. Again, I don't know if this is going to show up on YouTube. It's Ella J on Twitter. If you go to the link in my bio, there's a link tree with most of my links to all my merch, my website, all the projects I'm doing outside of A Wrestling Gal. I don't know when this will air. But I have a couple interviews coming up for Slammiversary. I literally just before this got finished filming with the Impact World Champion Josh Alexander, and I have Mickey James coming up. And I got a lot of interviews coming up. And then my podcast anniversary, 3-year anniversary, is next month. Still don't know what I'm gonna do. It has to be something special. I still don't know, but that's definitely something to keep your eye on too as well.
There you go. But yeah, thank you so much for being. Thank you, everybody, for watching. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Ella, and we'll see you again soon. Bye.